Vote-by-mail ballots are out and early voting is underway in Miami-Dade County. Welcome to a special edition of the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Today we hear from four of the candidates running for Miami-Dade County Mayor. Driving Dade County's Future, a mayoral forum, is organized by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce in partnership with WLRN and the Miami Herald. How will the county face the public health and economic challenges brought on by COVID-19? What should be done to address racial and social inequities? What about the threats from climate change? Housing affordability, untangling transportation, taxes, and spending. What are the priorities for those wanting to lead Florida's most populous county for the next 4 years? It's next on the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN and streaming video on WLRN's Facebook and YouTube pages. Welcome to a special edition of the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening and watching. Today, we have four candidates who are running for Miami-Dade County Mayor. It's a forum, Driving Dade County's Future. It's organized by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce in partnership with WLRN and the Miami Herald. We're on the radio for the first hour of this hour and a half long program, all 90 minutes. You can see video streamed live on WLRN's Facebook and YouTube pages. I'm here with the Miami Herald's county government reporter, Doug Hanks.
The four candidates in today's forum met the two criteria set out by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce to participate. One, they qualified to run for office, and two, they raised at least $100,000 by the end of July for their campaigns. Two candidates on the ballot, Monique Nicole Barley and LaMilla DeMond, have raised less than $6,000 each, so they did not qualify for this forum. Early voting began this week and continues through Sunday, August 16th. Vote-by-mail ballots are out now, and Election Day is August 18th.
So this is not a formal debate. There's no clock timing the candidates' responses or rebuttals. There's no buzzers. This is a forum. We will do our best to evenly distribute the questions among the quartet of candidates we have and to give the candidates time to explore and explain their answers. And we will note that we will be likely interrupting candidates, you, to make sure that we get as many questions on as many issues and as many answers as possible for the community in South Florida to consider. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Introduce our four candidates here joining us for our forum. Esteban Bovo is Miami-Dade County Commissioner representing District 13. Daniela Levine Cava is a Miami-Dade County Commissioner representing District 8. Alex Pinellas served two terms as the Miami-Dade County Mayor, leaving office in 2004. Since then, he has been a real estate investor. And Xavier Suarez is a Miami-Dade Commissioner representing District 7. To the commissioners and former mayor, thanks for your time and for joining us here on the forum. Let's jump right in and talk about the coronavirus pandemic. It is front and center for many in this community. Miami-Dade County makes up the majority of cases in Florida. It is a hotspot. Reopening the county has slowed down given this latest surge. So let's begin with Commissioner Bovo. If elected, what are your top two priorities that you will take to address the pandemic?
Well, I think the first priority is to make sure that we have better communication with all our cities and our county. That has been lacking. The problem with communication has impacted many of our residents. That has led to a lot of confusion. Obviously, we need to continue to do testing and tracing. But I think a critical component also starting and analyze how do we open our economy? How do we get businesses back up in a safe manner and trust that they could do it in a way that they could protect not only their employees, but also their customers and build that confidence.
And so how do you do that as mayor to reopen safely?
Well, I think they had already started opening safely. And I think they became the victims of perhaps some irresponsible behaviors by others, not the businesses. The ones that I walked into had taken all the steps necessary to create the social distancing, the plexiglass, the sanitation and cleaning efforts to make sure that their customers were safe and their employees. And it seemed to me that they were unjustly punished by the actions taken where we started closing them after they had purchased merchandise, after they'd expended all this money. And then perhaps the irresponsible behavior of those that were out demonstrating, those that were out rioting, and those that were going out to the beaches and pretending like they were immune, set us up into a critical situation.
Commissioner Levine Cava, your top two actions you would take to address the pandemic?
We need to be driven by the data. We need to have medical advice, and I will be appointing a chief medical officer to guide our return to some kind of normalcy. We need to have the testing, the tracing, the isolation. I've been calling for this since November, and we are still behind on all of those three things. And then as we recover, we are going to have a new economy. Many of the businesses, so sadly, have shuttered or have been very diminished. And many of our workforce need to be retrained, retooled for a new economy. We have nobody guiding county government and side government on economic development, certainly not on economic recovery. So while we have a few programs now with loans and some assistance to our small businesses, we need to be looking into the future. And I will have an economic development czar who will be the person who will help working with the business community to determine how we can come out of this strong.
So this would be something in addition to the Beacon Council, for instance, which is a quasi publicly supported economic development agency?
Yes. So I serve also on the board of the Beacon Council and also on the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Chamber, for co-sponsoring this forum. And I think those are critical partners. But the county government itself needs to have somebody looking out for what should be the county's response, the county's involvement in propping up our economy and investing in the new economy, innovation.
Commissioner Suarez, how about your top two priorities, if elected, regarding the pandemic?
Danielle is right. We have to be guided by the data. The data today, by the way, and for the last few days, has been good. We're down to 374 patients in COVID condition in our public hospital, and that's a net minus 12 in just one day. Governor Cuomo did a very good job of that. He would have daily press conferences, and he would have all the charts so that our friends in the media don't get too confused with some of the numbers that they're picking up from other places. And the second thing, Bobo was right about. You need better communication and between the mayor of the county and the mayors of the cities and other public officials. I have a very good relationship. I've had a very good relationship with the superintendent over the years. At one point, I had to mediate a little bit between Mayor Jimenez and Carvalho and some of the board members. The worst thing that could happen is what we saw last week with the cities being left out of the consultation. Bobo did a great job, and Daniela also on the commission to make sure the cities got their fair share of the CARES funding. In my case, I get along with the mayor of the city of Miami quite well. We don't always agree, but we do our best not to disagree too much because, you know, his mom is my wife. But I also get along with all the other mayors, and I was always in that mode when I was mayor of the city of Miami. I got along very well with the county mayor. He deferred to me a lot. In this case, I'm not sure that the mayor of the city would defer to me as much as
Commissioner Suarez, let's hear from a former mayor of Miami-Dade County, former Mayor Pinellas, your top two priorities for the pandemic.
Well, Tom, I've actually already started to work on both of them. I'm not going to wait until November 17th. We don't have that luxury. I've already begun to open lines of communications with our municipal colleagues, much like I did when I was mayor before, and I managed many crises, always with the help and consensus of municipal leaders. So I've begun that process, and it's no coincidence that 11 municipal mayors are endorsing my campaign because they know I will cooperate and work with them. The second thing I'm doing right now is I am in the midst of preparing a detailed coronavirus response and recovery plan. We can't wait any longer. And I think what just happened with the distribution of the CARES Act money is a clear example. We don't have a roadmap. It's been a haphazard buildup at the beginning of the pandemic. It's been haphazard towards the unwinding and now in the distribution of the money. We need a master plan. My master plan will be based on science, on data, and it will strike that very delicate balance between making sure that our economic recovery, our economic health doesn't come at the expense of the health of the people who live here.
Mayor Pinellas, can I ask you, your opponents have already voted to approve the 10 p.m. curfew that's in place right now. Should that be in place?
I think if circumstances warrant, yes. If that decision should be based on scientific data, I would sit with my police director, and if in his or her opinion that would contribute to less transmission of the virus, I would support it.
But you don't have an opinion on it right now?
No, I don't, because I don't have that data. I've heard from some municipal mayors who, quite frankly, don't believe that it's necessary. I would want to hear from the experts.
Commissioner Bovo, would you like to see that curfew lifted?
Well, I've said in many occasions that the curfew seems to be an artificial, remedy. Many of the mayors have, in my neck of the woods, have been concerned. The virus
would
isn't
like
going to sleep at night. Yeah, I'd like to see it lifted. I don't think it should have been in place to begin with. But, in the spirit of working and cooperating with the mayor and my colleagues, again, we need to at least send a uniform message. What you can't do is leave it up to everybody to kind of do their own thing, because that leads to a lot of confusion.
Commissioner, you voted for the curfew.
I know, Doug. I was anticipating your question. Yes, I did, because, again, in the spirit of cooperation and working with my members, what you can't do is you can't go, half shotgun away from trying to work together and cooperate. I can't say, let's all work together and try to speak as one, and then on the other side, go counter to what everybody wants to do. Do I agree with the curfew? No. Should the curfew be in place as a supportive measure to all my friends and colleagues and mayors? Absolutely.
Let's drill down a little bit more on healthcare. This is the special edition of the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN in partnership with the Miami Herald, a Miami-Dade County mayoral forum organized by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce. I'm Tom Hudson. We're speaking with Esteban Bovo and Daniela Levine-Cava, Xavier Suarez and Alex Pinellas, four candidates for Miami-Dade County Mayor, also streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. We're talking about the coronavirus pandemic. Let's bring in WLRN's healthcare reporter, Veronica Zaragovia, for some questions. Veronica.
Hello to all. My first question is that people living in nursing homes and other assisted long-term care facilities are at greater risk from COVID-19. Commissioner Bovo, your district includes Hialeah, which has had more than 18,000 COVID-positive cases. Governor Ron DeSantis thinks family members who have COVID antibodies should be allowed to visit nursing homes. Why do you agree or disagree?
Well, I'm not going to try to play doctor. And I would always rely on the healthcare experts for their advice. And I'm not sure if Governor DeSantis has used medical advice to bring his analogy. I will tell you, we have been very concerned with what's going on in Hialeah. We have voiced our concerns with not only the mayor of the city, we've also voiced our concern up the chain of command to the governor also. 33012 in Hialeah is one of the zip codes that has been usually amongst the top two or three as far as the contamination. What we've done in my community is make sure that we have ample testing. We've done it at Amelia Earhart Park. We've done it now with our first responders in the city of Hialeah for fire and police. We've made sure that those seniors in our community, we've provided them every tool necessary so they don't have to leave facilities and don't have to leave their buildings, precisely because we're concerned.
But there are nursing homes in Hialeah that have really high cases, double digit. What would you ask the state to protect long-term care facilities in Dade County?
Well, if left up to me, obviously, I'd want to protect those in nursing homes. I try to limit the amount of visits, kind of treat it almost like we're doing with hospitals, where if somebody goes in the hospital, there's very limitations on who could go see them or visit them, because obviously it could be an incubator for a wider problem. So I would be very cautious, obviously, working with our senior facilities and adult care facilities, which is what we've been doing. From my standpoint, as far as a commissioner, not going into those buildings, but making sure that the providers that take care of them are getting all the necessary tools.
And this pandemic is likely going to last a while. Commissioner Levine-Cava has called for a chief medical officer position, as we just heard, to coordinate efforts for the long run. Commissioner Suarez, and do you support that? And how would you envision the people who are going to guide your response?
Well, we already have the Department of Health embedded in our system. Dr. Villalta heads it. I've actually been in contact with someone slightly below Dr. Villalta, who's a magnificent infectious disease doctor, and his name is Mejia Echeverri. And by the way, he's shared with me some of the latest findings and his analysis. Having someone, a new position is not always the solution. Being aware of the of the statistics and being conscious of the possibility of herd immunity. For example, in the prior question, Commissioner Bobo was asked about the number of people in his district that have the coronavirus. Well, what you may have forgotten, Veronica, is that we did randomized testing in the county. At one point, it was 6% of the entire county. By that count, we should have 180,000 people, even without the new wave. The new wave seems to be more contagious, milder, thank God, and it might reach herd immunity. Some people think herd immunity will be reached at around 19 or 20%.
Richard Suarez, regarding the chief healthcare officer idea, though, you seem to dismiss it. You seem comfortable with the state agency and the Department of Health.
Yes, absolutely.
Advising the county. You're comfortable with the current staff.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But I was also
Veronica,
going
let's,
to answer a little
thank
bit of
you.
The prior question. You
know? Veronica Zaragovia covering healthcare for WLR. I appreciate that, Commissioner Suarez. As we mentioned, a lot of issues to get to here with a lot of different voices. We want to make sure that we hit upon as many as possible. And to that end, WLRN, the Miami Herald, and the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce did ask audience members for some questions to put to the candidates. We got this question from Shuli in Coral Gables. Shuli asks, how will the county mayor reduce wait time for COVID testing and increasing contact tracings? Commissioner Levine-Cava, you mentioned this among your priorities. Give us some specifics about how a Levine-Cava administration would reduce COVID testing times, not only the wait to get the test, but also the wait between having the test done and the results.
Yeah, I think we have to start with the governor was in denial at the beginning of this, and it took a long time to increase the access to testing. At the very beginning, it was only those over 65 and those with symptoms, and gradually over time, we've obviously recognized that anyone could be contagious even without symptoms. So that was a good step forward. Now we have these rapid tests that can return results in 15 minutes. Unfortunately, they have a high false negative potential. So we
have
to back it up.
What could the Miami-Dade County mayor do to help reduce
those
wait times?
Well, we need to move forward with those rapid tests at all of these sites. And I've even heard the superintendent say he wants access to them for school. So this is something that we have to gear up quickly and then have the backup for the more comprehensive swab test that takes a little longer.
And by gearing up, what do you mean for the county? What does that mean?
Well, you know, we have not hesitated to put, county resources have been used for testing. They need to be used in the right way and they have to be dialed up quickly. So we need to move to this rapid test format and backing it up with the swab test for the negatives to make sure.
Let's talk about some of the economic impacts of the pandemic. The local economy in Dade County taking a significant major hit. Tourist tax receipts are down 84% compared to a year ago. It's a drop of $14 million in just the past month. The county tax on slot machines has dropped to virtually zero because the casinos are closed. The county saw its share of the hotel bed tax drop 88% from May. These are breathtaking falls off in revenue. The proposed county budget the commissioners, the three of you, are due to vote on forecast deficits beginning next year and growing into the next 5 years. Commissioner Bobo has vowed not to increase property taxes if elected. Former Mayor Pinellas, first, is anybody else willing to make that pledge here today? Former Mayor Pinellas, Commissioner Suarez?
Oh, absolutely.
Commissioner Levine-Cava?
Yes.
Okay, you are making that pledge not to raise property taxes. Former Mayor Pinellas, did I see your hand go up or not?
With $941 million of federal aid, I think there's going to be ample opportunities not only to get us through the current budget cycle. By the way, the new mayor will inherit the budget that these commissioners will be voting on in the month of September. I'm more concerned with issues that are going to happen afterwards. I've laid out a very specific...
Well, that budget in September forecast budget deficits growing for 5 years in each
correct.
Of the 5 years. But you just pledged not to raise property taxes. Am I correct?
That is correct. Especially in light of the record we've had recently with certain taxes. For example, the misspending of the halfpenny sales tax for transportation. I don't think the voters of this county have absolutely any appetite for raising taxes.
Commissioner Bobo, I saw you smile there when your three counterparts made the same pledge that you've made.
Is it responsible
to make this pledge going forward, given such uncertainty and such significant drops off in revenue?
Well, I think what's responsible to do is to make sure that government lives within its means. And throughout this pandemic, Government hasn't suffered. Government employees continue to get paid. They continue to provide great service in our community. Government money that's flowed from the federal government, for the most part, has helped kept governments afloat. The residents of Miami-Dade County are the ones that are feeling the hit as far as economic loss and job loss. And I would tell you that our government and our government budget over the next couple of years will have to reflect what they could afford to pay.
Does that mean spending cuts?
That may mean spending cuts. And I have been already involved. When I first got to the commission, we had to go through a lot of spending cuts because, again, we are accountable to the taxpayers of Miami-Dade right. County.
Right. Commissioner Cava, Commissioner Suarez, are you prepared to consider spending cuts if you're not willing to consider property tax increases?
Yeah, first we need to reprioritize. So, you know, we need to look really closely at this budget. You know, the property taxes were paid for the most part by March, but all the cuts that you mentioned are critical. And this mayor has proposed a budget that is status quo. We're going to have to really dig down into that. I do not think that's a responsible budget status quo because of the things that you've said. So, yes, we're going to have to look at where are the priorities, and we're going to have to include the community in assessing that. This is not business as usual. And one of my colleagues here did say that, you know, he would be prepared to raise taxes for a bond program. And I've said we need to look at everything that's on the table already and reprioritize. That's
so you're referring to former Mayor Pinellas, who earlier this week said that he was willing to consider a bond for resilient and environmental purposes.
Yes,
that may or may not require a higher tax, depending upon how the debt is structured. Mayor Suarez, let me get you in just real quick into this. You're vowing not to raise taxes. How about spending cuts?
Yeah, and on the issue of a new bond, emission of bonds that Pinellas talked about, he also said that we would have to increase taxes because most of those bonds are being retired. Well, I have the total schedule of general obligation bonds. Very few are going to be retired for the next 20 or 30 years. Perhaps he doesn't understand finance at all, or maybe this particular bond issue, even though he was the one involved in passing it in 2004. By the way, almost a billion of it has not even been issued yet. I almost laughed, Tom, when you said, am I prepared to make spending cuts? Of course I am. I proposed my first year in office. I made an analysis of the county's budget, and I submitted it to the chairperson. The chairman at the time was Joe Martinez. He asked me to do this, and I proposed $400 million in cuts. At the time, that was 10% of the budget. Folks, including my two colleagues, they've been voting in favor of $88 million in furniture, $100 million in cars for a fleet that already exceeds 7,000 automobiles, 18 administration buildings, 4,500 properties at the county. If these folks are not ready to reform that and have an efficient county government, then they shouldn't be running for mayor.
Commissioner, former mayor, Doug, go ahead.
Can I just follow up with Commissioner Levine Cava? So on the climate bond, Mayor Pinellas says yes. Commissioner Suarez says no. Commissioner Bobo says no. You've been a county commissioner for 6 years. The budget is out. Why can't you say today, looking at the needs, whether or not the county needs a bond issue for climate change? Does it need the revenue or not?
Well, we've got, as Commissioner Suarez said, $1 billion that has not yet been allocated. We've got to start there. We've got to look at everything that's on the table. We've got to make sure, you know, what we can do. Clearly, we have a climate emergency. I've been very outspoken about that issue. But it's irresponsible in this time to be talking about raising taxes when people are suffering as they are. We have to look inside our budget and see how to reprioritize so that we can do the essentials to protect our infrastructure in the future, but also live within our means. I agree.
I have to make a correction on that, if I may, Tom, real quick.
Go ahead, Commissioner Suarez.
The $1 billion, it's not that it hasn't been allocated. It was pretty much allocated when it was first passed. In other words, we earmarked it. It just hasn't been issued. In other words, we haven't incurred that debt yet, but the commissioners
right,
otherwise.
Right, you haven't raised the IOU just yet.
Right.
We've got to take a quick time out, just a 30-second break for the radio. We will be back on WLRN Radio and back on the live stream WLRN Miami Herald and the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce Facebook pages. As you're listening to the South Florida Roundup, the mayoral debate in Miami-Dade County. Forum, not a debate. That correction. We're back here on the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Tom Hudson. We have a Miami-Dade County Mayoral Forum organized by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce in partnership with WLRN and the Miami Herald. I'm here with the Miami Herald's county government reporter, Doug Hanks. Let's move on to the issue of racial and social justice and policing. We're speaking with four of the candidates running for Miami-Dade County Mayor. Current commissioners Steve Bovo, Commissioner Daniela Levine Cava, and Commissioner Xavier Suarez. Also, former Miami-Dade County Mayor Alex Pinellas is with us. Nicole in Pinecrest sent us this question. Do you support divesting a portion of the police budget to reinvest into social services? Now, the largest portion of the county spending goes toward police department and jails, 45 cents of every dollar in property taxes paid. No property tax dollars are spent on homeless or domestic abuse shelters. Those are paid by the restaurant tax, and that tax is in a free fall, down 40% in June alone. Commissioner Suarez, do you think the county is spending enough on homeless and domestic abuse shelters? And if not, do you support the county shifting property tax money to those needs?
There's a lot of criticism of the trust. By the way, Alex talks about it. It was actually something that was initiated by myself with Ava Chapman and Steve Clark.
This is the homeless trust.
Right. There's a lot of criticism, and they're spending about $65 million. And what I've had to do myself is I've had to go to the DDA and ask them for money, $25,000. I took from my own budget $50,000, City of Miami mayor, another $25,000 for $100,000 to move 60 people out of downtown into permanent housing. That's a difficult program. It's implemented with a people-intensive organization. But yes, the basic point that you make is very interesting, and Daniela has made it throughout the campaign, and I think it makes a lot of sense that a lot of what the police do is engaging in things that are not really classic police work and more like mental health intervention and domestic violence issues. It troubles me a little bit, by the way, that our department doesn't have those categories. I've been asking for the calls that come in the City of Miami. Used to be 50% of all the calls for domestic violence. There's got to be a better way to deal with a lot of the things that the police do. But not necessarily.
Are you supportive of shifting property tax dollars from police and jails into these other social services?
You interrupted me. I was just going to say, I'm not complaining, Tom. You know, I know who's boss in these things. But I was just going to say, not defund the police, but maybe reallocate, reorganize, and see if other departments can help with those things. I've always felt, for example, that our EMT people in the fire department should be more involved in accidents and in other kinds of things the police seem to take over. In the City of Miami, they have public service aides. There's many ways to skin the cat, and we can do it more efficiently. That doesn't mean defunding the police in any way.
Doug Hanks, I'm going to turn it over to you for some questions.
Okay. Commissioner Levine Cobb, in December at a forum, you said that you didn't think the county should shy away from providing social services, that it's part of its mission to provide for the welfare of its residents. Can you share what you mean, what expanded services you'd like the county to provide as mayor? And how would you pay for that? What are we going to do without?
Right. Well, let me start with how we're going to pay for it. There's a lot of efficiencies to be gained. And as mayor, I'll be incentivizing our staff to really work with us to come up with those processes that will save money. There's an innovation academy in the City of Miami that's doing just that. And I intend to bring something along those lines to the county. I think that our employees can help us. They know ways to really cut costs. I also brought the employee protection ordinance to encourage them to report fraud, waste, and abuse, and that's been very successful. So we also need to go solar. That's going to save us tens of millions of dollars. And there are other things we can do. When we electrify our fleet, we'll be able to save a huge amount of money. So there are definitely cost savings to be realized in our budget. And then what does it mean to have a robust social service system? Back in the day when I was a young lawyer social worker 40 years ago, we had a much more robust social service program in the county government. It's been diminished over these years. We do not have much in the way. We have some mental health services, but we rely increasingly on outside agencies to provide those services. We don't have, you know, we have a domestic violence and a homeless program, but we don't have much in the way of job training. We have our career source, but we need to supplement it. We also can work with the school system on the pipelines to careers and apprenticeships. So there's a whole host of things that we could do in partnership with the other agencies to make sure that we have a robust, you know, I'm responsible and with along with Commissioner Jordan in creating the Alliance for Human Services. That created a master plan. It laid out all of the social service needs in the county. And I would like to bring that back. That allows us to make intelligent decisions about
social services. Doug, can I answer that question also, if you would allow me?
Ask Tom, is that okay?
Yeah, of course it is. Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to answer it too.
Well, no, because
I want to make sure we run on time, but we'd like to hear from everybody. Go ahead, former Mayor Pinellas.
Well, I think we have a serious mental health issue in this county that's been neglected. I've been talking about this for a year and a half, based primarily on a very personal experience in our family and the knowledge that I've gained through the system. I think it was at a crisis mode before the pandemic, and it's at a crisis proportion even more so now as a result of the pandemic. That's one area where I think we need greater attention. How would I pay for it? Let me be very specific. For example, we're spending in our corrections department alone $90 million a year in providing psychiatric services to inmates, many of whom are nonviolent. I think that's one way that we can help individuals with mental health issues in a non-corrections environment. So there are things that we can do to reallocate resources specifically in the area of social services and mental health.
Commissioner Suarez, you mentioned you had a quick answer to this question about specific changes to the county budget to expand social services.
And Alex mentioned the mental health component. There are about 4,000 cases a year, of which 90% of them involve 100 people going in and out of the system. Obviously, we need a diversionary program, and we're setting it in place and under Judge Lifman, and it's going to be fantastic. But as far as specific things that you can do without having to strain the county budget, I put together a summer jobs program for youth. This is extremely important. The highest correlation that exists between crime among young people is employment. And we built it up. Initially, the county only put $1 million. $1 million is 0.2% of the county's operating budget. But we work with the Children's Trust and the school system, and now it's 2,700 kids. Four after-school programs in my district with mostly donated monies from myself and from my campaign. Frankly, the last campaign, I didn't use the money. And four apprenticeships, which were jointly with a career source. A lot of times, people just haven't worked with other departments and with other agencies of government.
And should we get to Commissioner Bovo?
Commissioner Bovo?
Expansion of social services?
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I think, you know, we spend right now about $142 million in health services in our community. And, you know, I would support any one of those that are running. If they were running for social worker, I'd support all of them. That's good stuff. Look, my campaign is about reprioritizing what the taxpayer expects. And particularly that's going to be very important moving forward, as we've talked about already with the pandemic. You know, as a homeowner, I expect certain core services. And when government tries to be everything to everybody, that's when you begin to strain and you begin to feel the pinch. So the more you invest in certain programs, the less you're going to be able to invest in the programs that many of us as taxpayers want. And I believe it's the difference, quite honestly, between that officer showing up in 5 minutes and the difference between that and 15 minutes. And, you know, we need to prioritize first what we want our county government to be. And then we could entertain other items where I believe the state and the federal government should be active partners in these spaces.
There's a question on Facebook about the
quick
police,
question from
the police oversight panel from
it,
Facebook. We essentially, Commissioner Bobo, you're the only one who's voted against this. The police oversight panel as proposed by Commissioner Jordan. I want to ask something like kind of related to that. 18% of Miami-Dade's population is Black, and about 50% of the population in the jails are Black. Why do you think that is? And given those stats, why are you against a panel that's essentially designed to put a spotlight on racial disparities for police interaction?
Well, I think there's a whole lot there to unpackage, and I'm not sure if I can answer all of it in the time prescribed, but I will tell you this. The reason I opposed what Commissioner Jordan had brought forward is that, quite honestly, it had been morphing and changing over a course of time, and it still leaves it to the Board of County Commission to do the final rulemaking of creating a board. And I have a problem with how much it's going to cost, where the money's going to come from, who's going to actually serve on it. And let's remember that all of this started to come about as a reaction to something that happened in Minneapolis. In Minneapolis.
That's what I want to get to. Do you feel there's racial disparity in how people who are Black experience the police department versus who are not Black?
It would be hypocritical of me to be able to jump into somebody else's shoes and tell them whether they felt disparity or not. I will take it at face value if somebody feels that they have been, if something has moved against them, or if there's been a policy that they feel singles them out, then obviously these are things that need to be looked at. But let's make no mistake, you know, the police department in Miami-Dade County is not the police department of 30, 40 years ago. Not only the technology, the training, the protocols in place, this is an evolved police department that has been working in our community. I mean, the Circle of Brotherhood, former felons train our new cadets on how to interact in communities. And that's profound. We are a very diverse force. We should be a model, quite honestly, for most of the nation as far as our policing is concerned. Are we perfect? There's nothing perfect. And obviously, there's always a bad apple or two, and our department has found ways of weeding them out quickly. I would remind everybody, since the RRP was created the new version, I should say, or since it's gone now, we've had more officers suspended or arrested than when we had it, which demonstrates to me, between cameras and professionalism of our department, you know, there are certain things that are working. And to me, it's, again, a more of a reactionary of what's happened in other places of the world, other places of our community, and then bring them into Miami-Dade County. And I don't think the narrative fits, to be perfectly honest with you.
And Commissioner Bovo, I believe you've been endorsed by the local Fraternal Order of Police, your candidacy here, correct?
The PBA and the FOP have supported my candidacy, yes.
Wonderful. Just wanted to point that out. Let's remind folks that this is a special edition of the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. We're on the radio on WLRN, also streaming live video on Facebook and YouTube. Four candidates running for Miami-Dade County Mayor are along with us. Current commissioners Daniela Levine Cava, Xavier Suarez, and Steve Bovo. Former Miami-Dade County Mayor Alex Spinelis. Let's talk about the environment. It underpins certainly our lifestyle here and our economy. WLRN's environmental reporter Jenny Stiletovich is joining us now. Take it away, Jenny.
Can't hear.
Oh, having a little bit of audio difficulty, Jenny, with you. We will get that quickly fixed as we can.
So Tom, the rest of us don't get a chance to talk about the IRP or the social injustice.
Former Mayor Pinellas, we've got 90 full minutes and we're going to move on. We may revisit it. As you can imagine, we've got a lot of issues to talk about here.
All right.
We do want to talk about the environment. And I know Jenny wanted to ask about energy efficiency and inefficient buildings, which are blamed for 30% of greenhouse gases. New York City passed legislation to force buildings to cut emissions by 40% by 2030. Miami-Dade has a voluntary plan. Former Mayor Pinellas, would you make it mandatory?
I think under circumstances, yes. I think we have to have a data-based set of objectives to reduce carbon emissions, not just for our buildings, our fleet, based on reliable and accountable standards. And I would hope that every one of our county departments across the board is committed to that, and the mayor should hold those departments accountable. Absolutely.
Commissioner Suarez, would you support a mandatory cut to building emissions?
I'm not sure what that means. Here's what I support. And by the way, energy is my background, both as an undergraduate, mechanical engineering graduate from Villanova.
But yet you're confused about what building efficiency is?
Yeah, but let me answer your question and tell you what I would do. I don't know what you mean by that, frankly, but I'll tell you what I would do, which I think has a lot more analysis to it. The county has buildings, okay, and they consume energy, and we have way too many buildings. We have to consolidate them. The county has a fleet. Daniela mentioned electrifying the fleet. We've taken 5 years just to do CNG, from what is now diesel that's being burned. And the county creates buildings, okay, to your question, creates buildings, affordable housing and public housing. And I have proposed, Daniela has gone halfway there, she's proposed a study to see if we can make them all solar powered. I have said that we want to mandate that right now. Maybe that answers your question. So we're not about to build any more buildings. We're not about to try to retrofit buildings when what we should be doing is selling them. We don't need 18 administration buildings. We don't need 4,500 properties. That's efficiency, and that's the best way to cut carbon emissions. And those are pretty hard-hitting ideas that I have proposed. Again, Daniela was halfway there. She wanted a study on all of the new housing that we are building or subsidizing. I want to require it. South Miami did something a little bit more far-reaching, which is to require all new construction Correct. To have solar heating. I don't think that's constitutional. But short of that, what I propose is that anything that we're subsidizing should be powered by solar. We're in a state where we have constant sunshine, and it is ridiculous not to have solar-powered buildings. And to the extent that we can electrifying our entire fleet, that's going to have some upfront costs. And I'm not sure that cuts the cost of operations, but it does cost.
Commissioners and former mayor, let me just interrupt because I believe we fixed the technical problems with Jenny Stiletovich, and she has another question. Go ahead, Jenny.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. So in 2016, commissioners called the FPL cooling canals at Turkey Point. They called for them to be retired. Despite ongoing cleanup, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission extended the canal use in 2050 when they relicensed the reactors last year. So Commissioner Bovo, you voted for the resolution to have the canals retired. What should be done with those canals now? Do you think they're a threat to drinking water and to the health of Biscayne Bay?
Well, we need to make sure that we're working with all the stakeholders to make sure that it doesn't contaminate our drinking water, obviously. And we've talked greatly about issues related to the environment, that if we don't take the measures to protect our drinking water, and then quite honestly, we're not going to have a South Florida. So I've been a supporter of the resolution, and I've worked with FPL, not just in the cooling canals and trying to have water reuse so that we recycle water that normally we would be discharging. But also we've been working on solar panel legislation and making sure that we could use a lot of bodies of water, lake areas to erect solar panels so that we could also do a lot of energy efficient items. And not to mention bringing some water down from north of Lake Okeechobee that could also help as far as our aquifer recharge our water areas.
Jenny, thanks for the question. We have a question here for Commissioner Cava from Felix in Miami Lakes. Felix asks, will you support the elimination of all septic systems in Miami-Dade County? Commissioner Levine-Cava?
Yes, thank you, Felix, for sure. We need to definitely move away from septic. And there has been a study of which are the septic systems that are the most vulnerable, that have the most risk of putting nutrients into our canal system and therefore into our bay, killing off our seagrass, our fish, et cetera. I've called for monitoring of the bay, which has increased, as well as we need to cut off nutrients from fertilizers, so septic and fertilizers both. And you know,
should there be a county subsidy for putting those homes that are on septic into county sewer?
Yeah, so one of the challenges we have is that the water and sewer department is based on the users, and so there's only a certain amount of money that's for future development. But I am going to push through this item because it's not right, it's not fair. We all suffer from the lack of this conversion. You know, the Keys got it right. Monroe County got it right. They certainly got a lot of state funding, and we need to do the same, state and federal, to change our infrastructure because our septic is at risk from rising water table from the sea, from the canal system, and this definitely puts our fresh water at risk. You know, I've been called the water warrior with good reason. You know, I got all four of the environmental endorsements that were to be had. I have been fighting vociferously on all of these issues that pollute our bays, our ocean water, and put our well water and our aquifer at risk. So
Commissioners, former mayor, and Doug, stick with us. We got a lot more, as we've mentioned here. We're going to try to tackle transportation next as we continue on a special edition of the South Florida Roundup, driving Dade County's future. a special mayoral forum on WLRN with the Miami Herald and the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce next. Welcome back to a special edition of the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. We are talking about Driving Dade County's Future, a mayoral forum organized by the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce in partnership with WLRN and the Miami Herald. I am here with three commissioners running for Miami-Dade County Mayor, Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava, Commissioner Steve Bovo, and Commissioner Xavier Suarez. Also, the candidate Alex Pinellas, former Miami-Dade County Mayor who left office in 2004. I am joined by my colleague at the Miami Herald, the County Hall reporter, Doug Hanks. Doug, go ahead.
Sure. Mayor Pinellas, the South Dade Rapid Transit Bus Project, it's going to cost about $300 million. They're already got bids into the county to build it. Washington and Florida have already agreed to pay for two-thirds of it. And it would quicken bus times on one of the most popular bus routes in the county. You've said you would cancel that project. Why do you want to cancel it? What do you say to someone who can get on that bus and go get to work quicker? What do you say to them about why they can't do that?
What I would tell them is that they don't want more buses on the South Dade Busway. I inaugurated that system, Doug, in 1997. And part of the People's Transportation Plan was to bring rail to the people of South Dade. And if there's one quarter where we should have already laid out a clear plan for rail, is the South Quarter. We own the right-of-way, which typically is the most expensive portion of these projects. It could be done at grade. So by not going elevated, you're saving a lot of money. And number three, there is technology that exists right now that allows you basically to have a one seat ride from Florida City to Dadeland to the government center. And it's also been demonstrated that rail provides much greater capacity than buses, and the economic development that comes as a result of a rail project is also much greater. The people of South Florida also need economic development. So for all those reasons, not to mention the fact the people of South Dade have been paying that half penny for the last 16 years. We promised them rail. The money has been misspent grossly. And I think it was one of the worst decisions the county made. I think the public has lost all faith in the county's ability to deliver on a meaningful.
But why cancel that project? Why cancel the project?
Well, it's cancel it, but immediately convert it into rail. And that those are discussions I'm having to the extent that I can now, obviously, with folks that are involved. Remember, I'm the outsider now. I'm the guy on the outside. I don't have the access to a lot of the folks that that my opponents have to. But it's not just cancel and do nothing. It's canceling it and converting it immediately to light rail.
Can I make a small modification of that?
Go ahead, Commissioner Suarez.
The $11 million of the 100, I would take immediately and apply it because it's for the crossing arms that would allow either buses or eventually trains or whatever we put on there to use that 21 mile, as Alex mentions, that it's at grade and it's in great condition.
Okay, so the next question's for you, Commissioner Suarez.
Yeah.
Right now, the county's not charging transit fares because of the COVID crisis.
Correct.
They don't want it to spread. And there's $200 million of federal money that is making up for that revenue. But you want to make that permanent. You want to, on a typical year, the transit system collects about $80 million in fares. You want to get rid of that. The Miami Transit Alliance think that's a horrible idea. They say that what the riders want right now is not to ride for free. They want better service. They want buses to arrive more frequently, so it's a much more reliable option. Why are they wrong on that? Why do you think that taking away $80 million from the system is going to make transit more popular?
It's not taking $80 million from the system. It's applying $80 million that we're taxing people so that we have social justice, so that we have people that are in the hardest hit with the COVID situation are the people that have to work at the site, the nurses, the doctors, the drivers of buses, the people that bring your drywall and bring and make your beds in the hotels and serve you in restaurants and cook the food and wash the dishes. And to tell them that we can have a free system of public transportation like Kansas City has initiated under Mayor Quinton Lucas and many cities in Europe, is the best way to give relief to all these people that have been unemployed. And by the way, I don't know what the Transit Alliance is thinking, but the usual cost and demand curve, okay, price and demand curve, says that you increase the use substantially, you increase demand substantially, the more that you make it cheaper. And that's what's happened with our trolleys. It's up to 14 or 50 million people before the COVID hit. And the same with the Metro Move. The city of Miami right now, in effect, has free public transportation because they've increased their trolley service. And of course, Metro Move is free. Hasn't been easy to keep it free. Some of my colleagues, not the ones running for office for mayor, you know, have tried to put a fare on the Metro Move because they don't understand how important it is for that system to be free. That's why it's the most effective in the entire county system, the Metro Mover, and now the trolleys. All we got to do is make the buses. And by the way, you said $80 million. I hope people understand that that's barely 1.5% of our operating budget. And I've already called for $400 million in cuts from our budget and savings with all these high-paid bureaucrats that we have and all these systems and departments that we don't even need.
Commissioners, former Mayor Pinellas, Doug Hanks with the Miami Herald, my colleague, stick with us. We're going to continue this mayoral forum on these Facebook Live web pages where you're watching right now if you're online. We do have to say goodbye for the radio portion of this mayoral forum here on the South Florida Roundup. It is produced by Alexander Gonzalez. The video producer is Denise Royal. Michael Anderson is the video technical director. The forum again continues on these same Facebook pages, so just stick with us if you're online. Thanks also to WLRN's engagement editor, Katie Lepre, and the Miami Herald's audience editor, Forrest Milburn, for compiling questions from readers and listeners. On the audio board for our radio program, WLRN's Director of Radio Operations, Peter Meritz. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. And again, this Miami-Dade County Mayoral Forum continues on these Facebook pages. We'll focus on transportation and affordability. If you're online, stick with us.